hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Hop under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We kick off today's pre-holiday edition of Scuba Radio. Yes, I'm getting ready to take a break, do a little family vacation for the 4th of July. So you'll have to deal with that next week. However, this week we got a lot of stuff to cover. And to kick off today's edition of the big show, I have Alberto from DiveNav on Scuba Radio to give us a little update on a couple projects that he's been doing. Now, Alberto, first of all, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great, Greg. Thank you.
Sorry I missed you there at the scuba show in Long Beach. I know you were, you know, out there showcasing a couple new products, but for whatever reason, you know, I was wrapped up in mermaids and you were wrapped up in, you know, dive nav type things and Kickstarter programs and all that kind of stuff. So that's what we're going to talk about. So, you know, last time we spoke, you had come up with this nitrox analyzer that you were looking for some funding on the Kickstarter website. And sure enough, you came on Scuba Radio, and next thing you know, you're way beyond your budget, right?
Correct. couple of precision. At Scuba Show, I actually saw the mermaid,
yeah.
But for some reason, I didn't see you. I guess the mermaid are more attractive
yeah,
than
well, you know, the story of my life, no doubt, Alberto.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm used to that, yeah.
Yeah, and I think the first time we spoke a couple of months ago was related to Blue Buddy.
Right.
Our wireless data logger.
Yeah, that's
and
what it was, yeah.
We launched that project on Kickstarter back in January this year.
Yeah.
And it has been very successful. You know, we really like Kickstarter well, for a couple of reasons. First, it's a way to pre-sell a product, but also it's very important from my point of view, working with Kickstarter because you get a good feeling on how the market is going to react.
Right.
And you get some nice, you know, social media related advertising because there is a lot of visibility over Kickstarter.
Sure.
So
yeah.
So we did like the Blue Buddy project so much that we decided to bring to Kickstarter also our next project, and that is Nitrox Buddy that you just mentioned.
Yeah. No, okay, well, before we get into the Nitrox Buddy, let's backtrack just a tad. The Blue Buddy was basically a small little device that would log all your dives and then sync up via Bluetooth to an app on your iPhone or a Google phone or something like that, right? Is that what it was, pretty much?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. And you put it out there on Kickstarter, and sure enough, you you got all the funding that you were, I don't know, how many thousands of bucks was it? Like 10 or 5 or something?
Our goal was 20K.
Wow.
And I think we reached like 30 plus K.
Sweet. So not only did you get the money, but you did. You created a little buzz online, and it's a good way for you to monitor demand for a product like that. So obviously it was even better than what you guys had hoped for, I would assume, right?
Yes, it was oversubscribed, and the campaign ended in February, and we already have shipped all the products. In Kickstarter term, they are called rewards.
Right.
So we shipped all the rewards to all the Kickstarter backers and some. So we started shipping also to normal customers, and we have a few dive stores line up that are buying and reselling our products.
Excellent. So that's the Blue Buddy, and it's coming out or starting to slowly roll out through your local dive center, or eventually, hopefully, you'll see it at your local dive center over the next few months, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So you had that one, and then you came up with this Nitrox Buddy, which is a similar type of device, but it's a oxygen analyzer, but it uses Bluetooth and an app on your phone as well. Is that how that works?
Correct. I mean, we like these Bluetooth 4.0 technologies so much. You know, it's a relatively new technology that is now being used more and more in smartphones. Actually, every new smartphone that is going to be shipped has this new technology on board.
Right.
And I'm convinced that this is going to change a lot of things, not only in scuba, but also in other segments, because it's the first time we really have a mass market adoption of a relatively low cost and low energy wireless technology.
Right.
So we have a plan to use this technology as much as possible, like salt when you eat some, we do pasta.
Yeah.
And so we have a line of products we're working on, and Nitrox Buddy is the second product we have launched. Again, we launched it through Kickstarter. It has been oversubscribed. The campaign is over. People that missed on Kickstarter, they can pre-order it at our website. And now we're working like crazy to have the product ready by this summer. Most likely it's going to be end of August. So.
Got it. Okay. And it's a similar type of device, I would assume, to an oxygen analyzer, which is...
Yes.
You put it on an air tank. This is for nitrox divers, obviously, and you put it on an air tank to be able to monitor how much oxygen you have in the tank. So does it work just like an oxygen sensor without any, gauges on it, because that's what is used on the app, or what?
It's like a standard oxygen analyzer without a display, because the display is your phone. So the unit itself, the hardware unit itself is very small. Basically there is an oxygen sensor inside in our board. All the smartness is in the app. So the app, we call the Nitrox Buddy app, itself has several functionality and several modes of operation. The basic mode is like a normal oxygen analyzer, where you just monitor the data and you see on your screen the O2%.
Right.
But then we have more interesting and more smart mode, where we have calibration. We can actually plot the graph of the calibration. We have single point calibration, 2 point calibrations. You can log your analysis. So we have the smart analysis, where you can program how long you want to analyze and our algorithm to analyze, and then you can log the result of those analyses, so you can build a logbook of all your activities when it comes to oxygen analysis.
Wow.
A lot of people, they measure the O2 content, they write on a sticker, and then they don't remember when was the last time they used it,
right,
and which dive site, and so on and so forth. So in our case, everything gets logged, and it is on your smartphone. And once it is logged, you can do whatever you want. You can share it. An example, if you are a dive store, then your smartphone becomes the logbook for nitrox analysis.
Nice. Or if you're on a liveaboard boat, I could see that coming in very, very handy, because they need to have that. That's kind of standard protocol for them to have your O2 measurements before they let you in the water. And, they could actually do this all electronically. That'd be kind of cool. So the Nitrox Buddy is, available for pre-order now. So what is the price you're selling this thing for?
Retail will be $199.
Okay. So no wires, a small little device. You can pop it in your dive bag, have it in there. Will it interface with the Blue Buddy? Will it interface with that logging system, or is that kind of maybe in the next version coming out maybe?
They're kind of similar concept. I mean, they don't talk to each other directly.
Right.
They you need to go through the app to, you know, extract the data from one into the other.
Yeah, but you could possibly eventually or figure out a way to take that oxygen number and put it into your dive log system that you're getting with the Blue Buddy. Man, you're just so high tech, Alberto. I love this. This is so cool. I mean, he's doing like dive simulators. Now he's doing all this Bluetooth stuff. I mean, I know you got some more products on the horizon, but you can't really talk about them or you'll have to kill me kind of thing. Is that how it works? Yeah.
Yes,
he's Italian, exactly. So you got to be careful, right? Obviously, the demand has been good. Are you creating your own dealer network where these will just show up in your local dive store? Or?
That's an area where we are probably a little bit behind. You know, we are more technology guys over here than sales guys.
Right. So in the meantime, they can go to what website to check it out and maybe place an order?
Divenav.com, and there's all the information on how to pre-order.
There you
www.divenav.com.
Divenav.com. All right, Alberto. Well, thanks for the update. We appreciate it. And continued success, my friend.
You got it, Greg. We're going to talk again soon.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry. And at an affordable price, go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com. Americano, yes, that's one of the latest songs from my buddy Eric Stone, who's trying to open up his own gigging place down there in the Florida Keys in Marathon, Dockside Tropical Cafe. He joins us on Scuba Radio right now. Eric, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Greg. Good to hear from you, man.
Back at you, buddy. So I know you're not down in the Keys right now. We'll get to that in just a bit. But let's talk about this place. You're literally, you know, a month or two away, hopefully, from opening up your own establishment down in Marathon, right?
Well, we're shooting for like middle of September, early October, but you know, we're in the middle of the funding section, time of the campaign right now, the funding campaign.
The funding campaign. So I saw this email blast last week, and we talked about it a little bit, Bill and I, on the show. But you are actually doing a Kickstarter kind of campaign, or allowing people to kind of join the party for you to open up your own little bar and entertainment establishment or complex down there in Marathon. Am I right?
That's correct, yeah. We're actually going with Fundable.com, which is like Kickstarter. But Fundable It's fundable.com/DockSide.
Okay.
It's the same exact concept. It's an all-or-nothing fundraising campaign, and people pledge a certain amount of money, and they get rewards in return for their pledges. Like, say, for $250, you get my whole collection of CDs, a T-shirt, a hat.
Right.
And 80% of that goes to a bar tab that's good for as long as we're there. You can come down and use your bar tab till you run out of money.
You know, I saw some of the prizes. You went, it does go up from, like, you know, $5, $25, $50, and then upwards of $5, $10 grand. You allow them to, like, name your firstborn or something. I don't know. It's crazy, some of the stuff you got on there, let alone the bar tab stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, every reward we have comes with an 80% bar tab. So we're giving back. You know, we're just trying to raise a bunch of fast cash to get this place off the ground in
a
community effort. But we're giving it back to people too, you know. And like the $10,000 reward, they get everything at the other rewards get. Plus, they get a table with either their business or their name on it, and it's their table. You know, it's like it's like the front row. We're doing the $10,000 ones. There's only going to be five front row tables with double chairs. That's your table.
So, it's like
nobody there. Somebody else can use it, but if you call and reserve it, nobody's getting it but you.
Yeah, it's like setting up your own little office complex at the Dockside Tropical Cafe down there in Marathon, right?
Yeah, right.
This is how The Sopranos started or something, I think, isn't it?
I don't know about that. Maybe.
Little keys twist on it. I don't know.
Yeah. Exactly.
But, you know, I've seen the artist renderings. How far along are you in, doing some of the renovations of this place and all that kind of stuff? Or is it just a work in progress and day to day or what?
Yeah, it's basically they started with the floor. They pulled the floor out and it was not level anymore over the years, you know. So they put in new pilings into the ground, like 20 feet down to the bedrock, and now the place is completely level. The floor has not been level for 25 years. So the floor is level, the roof is level, and we're starting that. You know, you got to build a good foundation before you build the rest of the stuff.
Sure.
And then, you know, we'll redo all the interior to be a tiki kind of theme, island tiki kind of theme, and then. You know, we're not sure which stage we're going to do it. We're going to cover the whole entire place with a tiki roof. It's all going to be really nice when it's all said and done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the artist renderings look awesome. And it's right there. It's going to have its own little dock, or it's in a marina, isn't it, or is it? I don't know.
It is a dock. It's called Dockside because it is in the middle of a marina. It is a big, huge, long, open-air dock, and the back part of it is the bar. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's like you have a built-in bar on. And people can pull their boats up to it, tie up, come in here, live music. We're going to have the best sound system in the Keys. Pretty good music. I'll be playing there, you know, probably two or three nights a week, and then we'll bring in special artists from all around the country.
Nice. Well, I know those will be great nights that I'm going to have to come down and enjoy some of this myself. But so just to get the location correct, it's in Marathon. So we're talking about the Gulf side or the Atlantic side? Or, I mean, I don't know if that's the right way to...
Well, it's directly on the harbor. There's a harbor there called Boot Key Harbor, which divides the Atlantic from US 1.
Okay.
That's where all the boats moor their boats. You know, all the cruisers put their boats on the mooring balls.
Right.
So we're directly on the harbor, but it would be basically considered the Atlantic side.
Okay. So, but it's real close to some of the dive operators down there that'll operate. They might even cruise right out of your dockside tropical cafe, maybe. Or maybe come out there for happy hour.
We expect the dive boats to be coming in on a regular basis after their dives and come have drinks with us.
Exactly. Yeah, that's how you spend your diving. You're sharing your fish tales with your friends there at the Dockside Tropical Cafe. I'm really looking forward to it, Eric. I mean, I think it's a great idea. I know you've been working on this for some time, and it'll be a dream come true once you pull it off, but I have no doubt you're well on your way. It's already being funded probably better than you expected. Am I fair to assume that or no?
We were blown away, man.
Nice.
In the first three and a half days, we raised $25,000.
Sweet.
I mean, it was just like, I couldn't even believe it. We hardly ever got even the advertising out, and word of mouth spread, and people just started giving, and we're just honored. We're grateful that everybody's getting involved. We're so grateful, and, you know, we're going to keep pushing it. We got 30 days to run this campaign, and then we'll move to the equity stage of the fundraising, but... As many of the people that live in the area or ever think about going down to the Keys, this is a great time to get involved because you can get a bar tab that you can use you can get a $10,000 bar tab. That's $8,000 bar tab.
That would last a lot of the people that I know in the dive industry about a month, maybe.
But well, hopefully they'll spread it out a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they would. But still, I mean, you know, it's an investment. That's what it's all about. But it's just about being a part of something really cool. I really love the concept, how you're putting this thing together from a grassroots type of a standpoint there. And you know, I know it'll be a hot spot down there for all the divers or people visiting the area. Like myself from Orlando, I can't wait to come down there and enjoy some of the music, some of the diving, and some of the beverages that you you put on tap down there at the Dockside Tropical Cafe. All right, so that's in the works. Once again, the website is, what is it?
It's fundable.com.
Fundable.com.
Fundable.com forward slash Dockside.
Got it. Okay, so everybody can go there and participate if they so fit, or so if they desire. Now, you're where right now? It's Saturday. Where are you at?
Kicking
somewhere, surely.
I'm up in Indiana. I play tomorrow night in Indianapolis in a little town, actually north of Indianapolis, called Carmel. I like Carmel, but it's called pronounced Carmel. And then we go from there. We go up to Bayfield, Wisconsin, for the big race week, the sailboat race week.
Yeah.
That's the July 4th weekend. We'll be up there and all across the country until we get back around August, middle of August, and we'll start prepping that bar, getting it ready.
Got it. So you're on literally on a you're on a tour right now.
Yeah, I'm out of town. Yeah, I'm on the road.
Yeah, so on the road, and then you'll get back. You're not planning to head back to and play the keys until you get back down there to prep for the opening of the Dockside Tropical Cafe, or what?
Yeah, we'll be playing. I got my whole summer tour going to be going like normal, and then we get back around the middle of August, and I think I play in Marathon end of August, and then we're basically going to be working every day, you know, at the bar, getting it ready, and shooting for a late September opening or early October opening.
What's your latest CD title?
Oh, my latest CD is called Time to Fly, but actually I just wrote a new song. I'll send it over to you. I should have got it before the interview, but I wrote a song for Dockside called Rock the Dock.
Nice.
And it's going to be on a new album that's going to be like Dockside Tropical Cafe Presents. And we haven't sure how we're going to put it together yet. It may be a compilation CD. It may be other artists on there with me. I'm not sure. It's just early stages, and the first song is already done. So.
Well, there you go. Boatsongs.com. Go there, check in with Eric, and get information on his tour dates. And, of course, go to fundable.com/dockside.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. And, you know, I got to catch up on a few things that we haven't had a chance to get to in the last couple weeks. One of the things I picked up at the scuba show in Long Beach, California was out of need. You know, when we were in the Maldives, you know, about a month ago now, I was using these GoPro cameras, which I love. But one thing I quickly picked up on during the trip is that I needed an extension pole, a pole to put that GoPro camera on the end of so I could get in the face of some of the critters or get up and up close and personal. Because with this wide-angle lens that you have on these GoPro cameras, you really got to get right up there to get a really good close-up shot. And when you're talking about the face of a moray eel, I prefer that to be, you know, the camera. And these GoPros don't provide any protection for your fingers or anything else. God forbid the moray sees those little pinkies and say, hey, that looks like a nice little morsel. So I'm thinking I need one of these extender poles. And so I went to the Long Beach show in search of one. And little did I realize how much of a challenge this was going to be until I came across the UK Pro Pole. 36XD, by the way, from Underwater Kinetics. It's UKProGear.com. They're a subsidiary or a division of Underwater Kinetics. And the thing is, these poles, a lot of them aren't made for diving, except this one is. And it's telescopic. It goes to 36 inches, obviously, which explains the 36XD model number. But UKProGear.com. It, you know, the thing that you don't really think about it until you get into this stuff is that the connector for the GoPro camera, you need actually a special, you know, screw that goes into there. And they provide that with the Pro Pole. So it's a nice little package. Obviously, it's built for divers and using their GoPro cameras. And the thing extends far enough out, and it has multiple uses, including the unique angles that we are currently filming here in the Scuba Radio Broadcast Complex. Yes, it's for your amusement, and we have to thank the folks at UKProGear.com for hooking us up, and you need to pick one of these up, especially if you have a GoPro camera. All right, we got a Dan tip on how to find a dive buddy next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio safety tip number 34. The logging of your dives in the presence of the endangered spotted owl is considered insensitive to some environmentalists.
Liar, liar, plants for hire.
It's pants on fire, Patrick.
Well, you would know, liar.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And here with us today, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. It's really good to see you, buddy.
Hey, good to see you too. How have you been?
Lonely.
Do I even want to ask?
It's my dive buddies, or rather lack of them lately. Seems like everyone's busy or our schedules won't coordinate. It's getting really hard to put some dives together.
Sounds like you need some more dive buddies.
Well, you're a social guy. You got any tips on how to do that?
Phew, don't I always? There are a ton of ways to find new dive buddies. Shoot, in this day and age, it's never been easier to connect with people.
You're going to make me Twitter, aren't you?
You make it sound so cruel. No, you don't have to tweet, but there are lots of dive websites now dedicated to connecting divers looking for buddies, as well as mainstream sites that connect folks with similar interests. They can be handy, whether you're looking for buddies in distant locations or closer to home. You may want to think about checking them out.
Distant locations?
Well, some folks travel on their own and may need buddies when they get to their destination. I've even heard of divers logging on who are planning to move and want to start lining up buddies before they get there.
What if I don't want to go online and go old school instead?
Then there are even more options.
Starting with
the center of it all, your local dive shop. Going down your local dive shop is a great way to meet people, find divers with similar skill levels and interests, and just all around make new friends.
I find that when I teach, a lot of classmates tend to be buddies as well.
Exactly. Classes are an excellent way to meet potential dive buddies, especially if you're not taking the class with an established buddy. You figure classmates are likely to be at a similar skill level as you and almost certainly have similar interests. The only thing left to figure out is whether you're compatible and get along.
I did a speaking gig at a dive club not too long ago, and I heard a lot of divers there making plans to go diving together.
Dive clubs are another great way to go. They're a lot like classes in that you're definitely sharing space with active divers who are as interested as you, maybe even more so. You may find that as you meet fellow dive club members, you'll meet divers who will introduce you to new types of diving or increase your skill level.
Any suggestions on how to find a dive club?
Same way you find a buddy. Go to the dive shop, talk to other divers, go online.
Okay, so let's say you meet a whole team of new divers. How do you know which ones will make good buddies?
Well, it's like making any new friend. Just takes time to figure things out. Your first clue comes with the conversation you have with them. If you're not enjoying it, you're probably not going to enjoy diving with that person. But if you're hitting things off when you talk, make a plan to try things out as buddies. It can even be as simple as going to the local pool together to see how it goes.
What would you say is the most important thing about establishing a new dive buddy?
Comes down to communication. No doubt about it. Can't stress it strongly enough. And it doesn't matter whether it's the first time or the millionth time that you've been diving together. Communication is the key. Establishing goals, planning the dive, reviewing hand signals and emergency plans, it all comes down to communication.
Sometimes people are shy about asking too many questions when they don't know a person well.
And I can really appreciate that, but it's a mistake when it comes to diving. Nosiness can equate to safety in diving. If you're in the water with someone, you have a responsibility to them, just as they have a responsibility to you. If you don't know them well, ask as many questions, be as detailed in the plans that you make, and be as thorough in your reviews as you need to be in order to be comfortable and safe.
And I'd say get ready for turnabout to be fair play.
Absolutely. Be prepared to share the same information you're asking of your buddy. If you're just getting to know each other, it's important that your buddy feels just as as comfortable as you do.
Are we forgetting anything?
Just remember to be patient. Remember that when you're diving with someone new, especially if you're used to diving with a particular person, it takes time to get to know them. New people, new habits, new approaches, it all takes time to get to know each other. Time is a corner that you can't cut. So be patient. As long as you feel safe with your buddy, give it a chance. It doesn't have to go perfectly the first time to become a really good dive partnership.
Don't let busy schedules and lack of common interest be your buddies. Go out and find some dive buddies. They're out there just waiting to meet you, and there are a lot of ways to find them. Take a smart approach and the time to know them, and before long, you'll have a whole logbook full of buddies just waiting to share an adventure. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
Okay, we're back here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And, you know, on the phone with me is a good friend who covers the legislative action that's happening in Florida, kind of keeping the dive industry in the know when it comes to things that could affect the stuff we love, which is, of course, scuba diving. Bob Harris is on the line. Hey, Bob, how are you? And welcome back to Scuba Radio, buddy.
Thanks, Greg.
So, okay, a couple things been going on lately, especially in Florida, and this is good stuff for the entire world to know. In the fight against lionfish, Florida has made a giant stride forward, right?
They have. In fact, recently, which is good news for diving community, the Fish and Wildlife Commission here in Florida, has made some changes to the licensing requirements, basically saying you don't have one for divers to go after lionfish. Obviously, lionfish, not only in Florida, but in so many other places around the world, are becoming such a huge problem, have been for years, and so they're trying to get rid of them. And so they basically said to divers at a recent meeting of the Fish and Wildlife Commission, you don't have to have a permit to go do it. We want you to go take the lionfish and get them out of this ecosystem and try to put an end to the havoc that these lionfish are creating for so many species.
Yeah, so you don't need a fishing license anymore like you would, you know, if you wanted to go catch lobster if you're a diver or want to go spearfish, that kind of thing. There's a lot of people or a lot of divers out there that aren't necessarily into spearfishing and maybe not be fishermen, but, you know, they see these lionfish and they know they're not good and would like to be able to take them, and now you can do that legally in Florida, which is kind of nice. Any chance they would open that up to lobsters and stuff? There we would. That's just wishful
probably
thinking.
Not. Yeah. Probably not. But I remember the days, you remember these days, back when the opening day of lobster season was on the same day that the traps were in the water, and those were a lot of fun days.
Yes.
Battles between commercial and recreational divers were had on the waters.
Yeah, and the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission's in the unfortunate position to try to manage all this nonsense. So it's a tough gig for them too. I totally understand. But this lionfish thing, I definitely think is a good thing. I mean, that just seems to be one of the first times I've heard a lot of common sense coming out of that organization. Is that just me? I'm just being fair, I guess. No, I'm not really.
No, it's true, and I understand that. I think they have over the years we've had some issues with them and so forth. But I think under the current leadership of the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, particularly some of the members that are on the commission now and some of the staff, I think they get the diving industry much, much better than they used to, mm-hmm. frankly, and I think they see great value. I think one of the reasons why this change was made with lionfish was I think the one group that stands between the spreading of the lionfish and getting rid of them completely is the diving industry. I think they realize we're in the best position to eliminate this problem, and so there's a reliance that's gone on, and an understanding that we can be part of the solution to the problem. And so I think it's great for the diving industry in Florida and again in other places. So I think it sets a good precedent. So.
Yeah. Does the Fish and Wildlife Commission have any idea how tasty these little lionfish are? By the way. Because they are a really good taste in fish. Have you had lionfish?
Tastes like chicken, I understand. I have never had one. No, I've never had.
They are.
I assume it tastes like chicken.
Well, they're very mild. Exactly. I'm not so sure I'd go as far as chicken. But for a fish, they're very mild. If you don't like fish, a lionfish might be a nice introduction to the you know, the seafood world for you, because it is a very mild snapper-like fish, and, you know, they are great-tasting fish. Now, sometimes they can be kind of small, but here in the Caribbean and Florida, man, these things are getting pretty big. You can get a nice little meaty lionfish and have a really nice meal. Nice compliment to your lobster feast when lobster season opens. You hear what I'm saying?
I can see it now. Lobster and lionfish, you know, so like surf and turf.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Awesome. It's something like that. Exactly. But tasty critters for sure. So now you don't need to have a license to go catch your lionfish. That's a good thing. What else has been on the horizon legislatively for divers? I know you're working on a few different projects, right?
We are. One of the things that DEMA, the Diving Equipment and Marketing Association, is taking the lead on is really pushing and helping states one by one try to put an impact on this shark finning, the tragedy that unfortunately occurs still today thousands of times across the waters of our nation and around the world in terms of commercial fishermen primarily taking and cutting off the fins of sharks and throwing them back in the water, even though it's prohibited in federal waters.
All right. Well, Bob, hold the line. This is good stuff. Let's get back to this on the other side of this break with Bob Harris as we talk about legislative issues that are affecting the dive industry next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio. Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Under this garb, we're perfectly ordinary Americans.
They had me all set up with the scuba guy. Made sure that I bought a waterproof watch. That's important. Gee, I'm completely out of oxygen. And look at the time. Now I'm dead and I'm late.
And I'm going down. All the
way. We're talking with Bob Harris, the legislative liaison for the dive industry, who keeps us in the know when it comes to issues that are affecting divers in Florida, if not the world. One of the issues you just mentioned there before the break, Bob, was about shark finning, which obviously I think universally the world is against shark finning, yet it keeps happening to this day, right? Is that pretty common sense type of statement, or what do you think?
It's absolutely happening, unfortunately, thousands of times a day still across the world, and I think still in the waters of the United States. And it's really just an incredible tragedy, and I think everyone understands that. And that's why you're seeing several states that have adopted measures all go to different lengths to say we're not going to allow people to transport, defend sharks. We're not going to do that. We're going to do whatever we can to stop that practice from happening. But it continues to this day. And you're talking about declines in some species of 90%. And so it's having a huge, it continues to have a huge impact on the ecosystem, and I think people are realizing that. The problem is just recently, the federal government that I know and love, has put out in a thing called the Federal Register kind of an edict to the state saying, states, thank you very much for all this legislation you're passing on shark finning to try to put an end to it, but we control our waters, you can't control our waters, we can do what we want, and so you states need to be careful to not invade into our arena.
Wow.
So I think it's really a
power play.
Line in the sand that the feds have drawn. And I can tell you the people in Florida here are very interested in what's going on, and this information has been shared throughout all the other states that the DEMA has been dealing with on these shark finning issues.
Yeah, well, like I said, universally I think people are against having sharks, harvested like that. I mean, unfortunately, the fins are very valuable in the Asian market and that kind of thing. But I honestly believe a lot of people don't realize the impact, them purchasing shark fins for their shark fin soup over there, and because it's part of their tradition, doesn't understand the impacts necessarily. But because of that money issue, because they're so valuable, it's hard to keep these things in check. So the feds are saying, don't tread on us. We'll take care of this problem. You guys are just, making more of a headache for us? Or is it just seriously a power play? What do you think?
I think it's probably a little bit of both, Greg. I think you're right. I think it's a power play on their part to say, we control these things and we'll resolve this issue and you should stay out of it. But the numbers are not proving them out. I mean, you're talking about, when you have shark fin soup that's selling for 19 times the amount that the actual product, shark itself, would sell, people are going to go in that direction. And they're really doing very little to stop it. Mm. I think states have said, we're going to do what we can. And you and I experienced this, I think. Part of the problem, too, is the public's reluctance to kind of stand out and protect sharks. We went through that back with the shark feeding issue many years ago.
Yeah.
But because of the whole Jaws thing, people are reluctant to say, hey, we really feel the need to protect sharks. But it's a huge part of the ecosystem. It's in great grave danger, I think. And if something is not done by each individual state to put an end to this practice, sharks can the population is going to continue to decline, and we're going to see the impacts for many, many years to come.
Now, do you know of any of the specific issues related to shark finning that, the Florida folks would like to do or have thrown out there that created some of this issue, or do you know, not familiar with any specifics as far as related to shark finning and that kind of thing?
Well, one of the things I think that Florida's done very intelligently, in Florida waters, you can only take one shark a day, and so per person. And so they're already ahead of a lot of the other states in terms of saying we just don't want sharks to be taken, generally speaking, much less the finning side of things. So the question is if we can get enough states to kind of follow the same track to try to put an end to what you said, put an end to this market for shark fin soup somehow, some way. It's going to be difficult in places like California where it sells for, $500 a bowl and people continue to buy it.
Yeah.
But bottom line, because there's money to be made. So the bottom line is, state by state, we have to get this effort going, and we're going to address this specifically with states at the DEMA show in November. But the more we can do to get states on top of this and try to put an end to it would be the sooner the better.
Yes, I agree. I mean, it's insane what you see the price tag, for instance, for a shark fin from a whale shark, for instance, which isn't, even a carnivore. I mean, it feeds on plankton and stuff. So, I mean, it doesn't even eat, it's not like a tiger shark or anything that you would have any fear of. But these big, massive animals that we love snorkeling with and diving with, even them are threatened by this industry, unfortunately. All right. Well, that is one thing that I know the fight will continue on. I know there's some other issues that concern some of the wrecks that have been sunk in Florida and memorials. Is that what it is or what?
Yeah, one of the great things that's come out of, I think, the recent effort by Florida and the passage of the Ships to Reef legislation a few years ago is the sponsors of that legislation wanted to make it very clear that part of the motivation was to really recognize veterans. And I think what we're going to do now over the next year is take the next step, and that is try to establish one by one veteran memorials near each of the land side of each of the sites where these ships have been sunk, the Oriskany, the Vandenberg, now the Mohawk in Sarasota. Is try to get some money from the legislature to put landside memorials recognizing the veterans that served on those vessels. It's kind of like the final step in this whole process. I think it's incredibly important that we recognize the people that served and died and should be remembered for the service that they made to our country. And I think it's a great concept, and we're hoping to get that through with our governor and through the legislature for the upcoming legislative session here in Florida.
Well, that sounds great. Good work there, Bob. Thank you for the update. We appreciate it. Hour two of Scuba Radio is on deck. Stay close. We're just getting started here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.